And now, stand and cheer for your BBL Weekly.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Talk About Sports Basketball BBL Weekly. I am Mark.
Are you alright?
Yeah.
Well, I am Paul.
Give that go in one breath.
You were like, ah, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, get it going. Get it going, son. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you? He's pressing buttons. He's thinking. He's unsure. Honestly.
It's too much going on.
If people could see this, they'd be like, what is he doing? Fiddling, faffing.
You need like a whole panel of buttons rather than going back on the pages. Like, that's what's confusing.
It's like when you see a lady and they've got their hand in a handbag and they're looking for something. You're like,
yeah.
What are you doing? What?
They're doing something.
Yeah, but what possibly is it that you've lost? Like, you know, is it in there? You know it's in there. You put it in there, so it hasn't moved anywhere else. No one's touched it.
I know, but when the red button's on, there's pressure.
The pressure.
Right, BBL, what a week, Mark.
Yeah, it's funny because it's...
Predictable?
Yeah.
Hey, this is the penultimate BBL weekly episode.
It is the penultimate episode.
For actually. Season one. Mm. Are we going to have a season one?
We have to.
Oh.
We have to.
Wow.
Because we actually had to go over a thing the other day. I was looking up and I couldn't work out why we couldn't see some of our old shows. And someone had mentioned to me, I was like, oh, you've only got 100 shows. And I was like, no, we got 104. So I was looking at it. And some of the actual places only display 100 at a time. So because of that, that's why lots of people put in seasons.
Seasons.
And some people just do a weekly show. If you think one weekly show and they do a season every year, then there's 52 shows and they just cut it off. So it's easy to show that. But we've done 106 or 107 already. So I think we'll cap it probably like 150 or something. Probably by the time it gets to...
Maybe finish the BBL.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
or
so.
Or NBA.
Yeah, I guess
we
so.
We started with interviews.
We started with interviews. And the only thing we've got this year is the Olympics, of course.
Yeah, but we started with interviews in here when it was starting to get ridiculously hot, which it is again.
Yeah.
So it feels like we're coming full circle. I'd say finish BBL, finish the NBA.
And then
season one.
Season one.
We should have an episode called The End of Season One. The best of. Where
one and done.
We interview each other. Best ofs.
Interview each other?
Of what? Like, best of.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good idea, isn't it?
I like the idea.
Boom. Ideas galore. I'm Mr. Idea.
Mr. Idea.
Mr. Idea. Right, so, BBL. Well, look, Mark, I'll be honest. I had a few beers on the table for the Newcastle Eagles.
Lavrage.
At home to the London Lions. And,
I mean, look, Mark's episode's gone out now. And,
Mark Stutel.
Yeah, and we were talking to him, and obviously, that was pre that game. And so, you know, we'll see, obviously, wish you well. That was such an important game.
I love Mark's basketball mind.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell he's holistically thinking about it. It's not just a play-by-play.
I said this to you the other day. You've got, like, us talking about basketball. You've got people who it has been their career for 50 years and they are talking basketball and they have all these references mm-hmm. and they're well... rehearsed in the media. Then you've got the people who are in the game, and then it feels like you've got Mark above them. He's thinking on levels above levels. And please, if you've not heard it, go and listen to his episode and hopefully you'll pick up on that. But that's the one thing I remember walking out, not that anyone knows this other than what you, but I just went after the show, what an amazing basketball brain he's got.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's
really analytical, wasn't
we've
it?
We've said it before on the since JJ and LeBron are doing their episodes on their podcast, and you hear when they're talking, the way that they're talking at a different level, it's a different way of looking at the game.
Yeah, it's a complete different stratosphere, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're not looking at the game; it's the whole chess and checkers kind of scenario, isn't it? And there's actually a good one this week where JJ called LeBron out. I don't know if you saw that, where he was saying about, oh, you know, in the regular season, you play this way, but in the playoffs, you get to play a bit tougher. And, you know, so you can get away with it a bit more because it's the playoffs is a bit more sort of, you know, energy and aggression and stuff. But he said, But our games just felt like a bit like a regular season. You know, we were getting called for everything. And JJ literally fired, was laughing and fired straight back, says the guy on the team who had the largest disparity of like free throws and calls against
him. Ever.
And he literally called him out that second. And LeBron's like, I've got nowhere to go. And the next clip was him saying about he plays chess on the court. And he's like, all right. And you can see JJ sitting up like, I'm going to ask you a chess question now. And he went, I don't play normal chess, like actual the game chess. I'm just, the way I'm thinking of it is a strategy. And you could see him like, I'm just about to call you on that, which is...
He's a very good interview. I like him.
Yeah, you can see already.
He did the same thing for Shaq. A few questions to Shaq where he was... Not uncomfortable questions, but questions it's like...
Justify what you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because a lot of these players, people like Shaq, you know, physically imposing, dominant player, not many people challenge them. So when they do get challenged and you go, you got to have someone who can back up what they're challenging.
Mm. And JJ Redick in particular, I think he's got a fabulous basketball mind. And I wonder, like, I wonder where he's going to go, because he could have a great career in the media. I know there's lots of talk about him getting into coaching because he's very good in that area. Could he turn into a like future Steve Kerr? Mm-hmm. Could we see that in him? I don't know. It'll be interesting. Anyway, this is BBR, Mark.
It is, yeah. And he was in the media, incidentally, but
you know. Yeah, but he's good at it, isn't he? So anyway, look, I had beers flowing, watching on TV for the Virtu Arena. It was, you're right, it was a huge game. It was a huge game because it was must win for Newcastle, because you cannot forget Newcastle got, well, one of three teams that got a win.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%.
At the Copper Box.
100%.
Now, could a team go there and win two in a row? They've only lost three all season. It's more unlikely to win two in a row at the Copper Box. So that first game in the Virtu Arena was...
They had to win that.
Pivotal. They had to win that.
Had to win it.
And can I just say a huge shout out to the BBL for having the first game at the Virtu Arena. Because normally we were very much expecting game one, London Lions.
I genuinely was confused because I thought surely they would have the advantage.
And I thought, that's weird, isn't it? Why isn't it in the Copper Box?
Yeah.
There's probably an essence where they've done it of traveling, keep the cost down for teams, maybe, where you've got a double header in the same place. However, I really, the more I thought about it, I loved the fact that the underdog, the lower ranked team, has got the first game at home. So they have the opportunity to get on the board first. They only need one away win.
Mm.
And then that changes everything. Imagine it's at the Copper Box and they went 1-0 down. That's completely different going into Newcastle then, isn't it?
Yeah, psychologically, you're immediately thinking,
we've
got a chance. Yeah. We've got a chance because we've got a chip on the board.
Yeah, and I the more I thought about it, I thought the BBL have done an absolutely brilliant decision there, making those first games in Newcastle.
So it's interesting that they didn't do that with Cheshire.
Yeah, yeah, weird, wasn't it?
Hmm. Wonder why they didn't do that.
So, yeah, anyway, but look.
But yeah, I agree. Because we generally thought, when we did it on the show, and I said it was at Virtu, and we were both looking up on the show, like, this can't be right. Is this a typo or something? Because surely first place and the first team.
Maybe it's organised between the teams.
They have home court advantage. Yeah, I don't know. But that definitely changed that dynamic, because suddenly you went... Now, I will say this. Because of that, if you flip it the other way, it does put more pressure on that team, though. Because they basically know, if I lose this game, I'm really...
We're done.
Really,
we're done. Yeah. Yeah.
It does make it an all-in-one sort of game, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. And Newcastle came out flying.
Yeah.
It was great to see. The first half was brilliant. It's really good to see Newcastle Eagle legend Fab there.
Yeah.
He was cool. Looking really good. He was really looking good. Little cheeky smile to the cameras. But you know.
Well, you said about mentality. One of the things Mark shared was about when I'm in the game, I just concentrate on those 40 minutes in front of me. And that game, the way that it was played in Virtu, that really lent themselves to it, because they're like, we're not interested in a three-game series at this point. I'm just looking at win this game.
Yeah, and that first half was great for the fans, I thought, or the neutral spectator. It was great to watch, and it was funny because I was talking to someone who was at the arena. I was talking to former guest Keith White.
Yes,
and I mentioned third quarter is huge. Third quarter is absolutely pivotal here. Let's see what happens, and then London dominance.
Nwemba,
great performance by him. Yeah. Sharma inside, just dominating. They outscored. I don't know. They outscored them in the third quarter by quite a lot. I know in the second half it was like 24 points, but in the quarter, I don't know.
I've actually got the stat there, actually, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, Ricky McGill, really consistent for Newcastle in the game. Jordan Johnson, great.
Ricky on 18 points. And Jordan stepped up late in the game, but couldn't really sort of get back on how the team had done.
Devin Whitfield, great to see him.
Do you know what?
He was contributing as well. I mean, look, it was a great...
There is one
a
thing.
A great team performance. A great start is how I say. It was just...
I've got a criticism
for it. I think championship quality throughout the season then shone through.
I've got a criticism.
In the second half.
And it's...
A criticism of who?
I don't know who. This is what it is. But the biggest problem I had of this game, the biggest single problem, I've turned it off.
Why?
When I got to the third quarter and you watched London put their foot down, I was then flicking back over to see what Cheshire were doing.
Oh, yeah, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. So, yes, I think when it went to 20, then I went, I'm going to go and see the Cheshire game. I think at that point it was 10.
Now, I would have
liked to watch
both.
I went and got another drink. I came back and it was like an even bigger deficit. I was like, oh, I'm going to go back to the Newcastle game. And it was like, oh, anyway, yeah.
So that was one of the things I was going to say. Like, it wasn't...
It'd be nice
to
watch
them both. We were talking
about
the scheduling. Yeah. And even if you'd put a half hour difference between that, just something, these were big games. This is the quarterfinals. You don't want it to be...
They want it all over in that weekend, though, so...
But we've just been talking about EuroLeague, and there's no spoilers. What are they doing? They're doing two...
EuroLeague, is that coming out next week, Mark?
It's coming out. But they've got a similar scenario over a whole weekend.
Final four.
They play a Final Four, don't they? This is what a Final Four is. They do the same thing in one weekend. And it's back-to-back games. But they don't do it so that everyone can watch it, which is what you want, surely.
Yeah.
Well, I just missed out on it a little bit. And that was quite a frustration because I thought, out of those two games, I wanted to watch the Eagles-Lions more because I thought it was... more pivotal on that game.
Whoever
was going to win that.
A little part of my heart is connected now to Newcastle Eagles. And I was rooting for them because they had to win that game. And then obviously it ends up with a disappointing 104-78 score.
Ricky got ejected as well.
Tell us about that.
Two technical fouls. I mean... I think the first foul was fair. Second one, not sure. Keith actually was sending me messages saying about the...
Keith White?
Yeah, it said about... wasn't sure about some of the reffing.
Vimba GB legend.
Yeah. But I do think overall, like you've said before about consistency with the refs, I think they were pretty consistent during the game. So I don't think it was a case of that they were overly picking on it. It's just that London stepped on the gas, just... got that lead and Newcastle just couldn't come back.
Look, I was rooting for Newcastle a little bit. However,
yeah,
there were some moments where the refs were bloody awful. They were awful. There was one...
I'm not saying they made bad... didn't make bad...
This was bad.
I'm saying
first
they were consistent.
Quarter, there was... who was it? It might have been... Someone was driving in. I'm going to say it was someone like Connor Morgan.
Yeah.
Drove in the key... and someone literally shoved him from Newcastle. Two hands in the back. And I was like, wow, here we go, T. No call. And no. I was like, wow. And then the London player, whoever that was, I should know who it was, turned around and was like to the ref, what? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that is an intentional foul there. Yeah. And it was no call. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, Newcastle got a chance here.
No, because they were letting it. What I think was, they were letting a lot of stuff run.
But that was a blatant foul.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Blatant foul.
Yeah, but they did. And that was, you know, London didn't get calls. That was my point, was that London didn't get calls as much as Newcastle. Like, oh, they didn't do this. Some of the Newcastle ones, to use your phrasing, was tippy-tappy. They got a few bits and you go, not
however,
sure, but I think London missed out on a couple. Would it have changed the end of the game, though? No.
No, perhaps not. But one of the things I would say, to the credit of the referees, I really enjoyed the interaction that the referees had with players. They were really engaging with the players. There was one moment with London Lion, really stood out. It might have been Olesini.
Mm-hmm.
I should have wrote some notes down, but I was having a few beers, so oh well. But
so they'd have come out like, what did I write there?
It was, but what I noticed, the referee was really engaging him. So the player was like, come on, man, I just got hammered there.
Yep.
And the actual ref stepped forward, because normally, I mean, I don't know what it's like in the BBL, but if someone's being aggressive, they normally wouldn't walk forward towards that aggression.
Yep.
They would take a step back. But this referee kind of took a step forward and said something, and the player just really engaged with him, kind of like switched off with his passion and just went, okay, but this is what I saw. And yeah, he was really engaging with him. And I really liked that, because that engagement I really enjoyed to see with player and referee. What I don't like to see is a ref trying to explain every call they make. That's forget it. Once you start doing that, it's like, yeah, you're not going
to
engage.
You then have to justify everything.
Yes, but I really saw that, and that was in the second half, I believe. I saw that engagement. I was like, "What? That is so." In credit to the referees, that's the one bit that I really took out that I enjoyed with that game. But look, it wasn't enough for Newcastle to get the win.
So that was that game, and then obviously then we go on to game two. So that's why on my notes I put on game two underneath.
Game two, at the Copper Box.
At the Copper Box, they almost had it all to play for, but Newcastle have been a strong team travelling, you know, and we know that from when they went to Caledonia.
They'd done it once.
Yeah, they'd done it once, and then when they went to
Caledonia... I didn't think they'd do it too tight. They weren't going to get two wins at the Copper Box in a row. But that's just my opinion on it. But the history of the season, you know, the stats were against them.
It was a better game from Newcastle. They dropped a bit more. I'm not saying London weren't as strong as they were in the first game.
But Newcastle went up, though. They went up by, 8 points or something like that? And it was hang on.
My gut was that London sort of went, okay, we can have our foot off a little bit here. They got into it and they found their groove. And I won't say they were not complacent, but found that way of going, oh, we can't take our foot off. We still have to play a game and win a game. And that's how it came across. Because like you said, they went up and all of a sudden you think, okay, we got a game here. This could be really, really interesting.
I would also say, sorry, just going back to the... I should have written the names down. The commentating...
Yep.
At the Virtu Arena for the Newcastle-London game was really good. I really enjoyed that.
I can't remember.
There was an ex-London Lion, WBBL player, and then an American guy. I'd have to find the names, but I enjoyed their commentating. And the only reason I say that is because we've talked about this before. Sometimes in the BBL you have commentating where you'll hear an American accent, but it's forced a little bit.
Yep, it's anglicized American.
And
yep,
it's a bit like, with the commentating, I really like, who's that guy that we've talked about before?
Oh, blimey.
Aldridge, is it? I've been doing it 30 years.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he's putting an English tone on it rather than
Oh,
he's got a tray. And it's like, we're not in America. We're in England. You're like, do British commentating. But I genuinely enjoyed their commentating. I thought both of the people were very good, especially
Dan Routledge.
Routledge, that's it.
Yeah.
But I really like the American. Really clear. I just want to throw that in because it was something I went away from the game thinking.
To do a not a balance thing of that, originally people had complained about that, saying why have they got an American person commentating on British game? You go, doesn't matter if they're a good commentator or a good commentator.
Yeah, a good commentator. Yeah, but I do agree with that. I like the idea you have a British commentator.
Yeah.
However, I
had a problem with
lot of British commentators do the awesome. This American thing.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a tray. Oh, and you think, oh man, like, just talk with your passion and the audience will pick up on your passion. If you're enjoying the game, they'll pick up on it.
Yeah.
But there are certain words, because I do it a lot in this. I do it when I'm doing the announcing for the Force games and stuff like that. There's certain things like talking basketball podcast. If I say basketball, I mean I'm speaking the King's English here.
Yeah,
it comes across not as cool, probably the way I say it. So I say the talking.
Welcome to the talking basketball.
Like podcast. No, is it? What is it that I'm saying?
Basket.
Oh, podcast. Bad. Rather than say podcast, I go podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is then that like it's American that,
yeah.
influence.
Yeah, you Angles.
But yeah, if you watch the BBL, I think you'll know what I'm talking. I'm just not a fan of that. That's just a personal preference. But great yeah. commentating. Anyway, sorry, I've completely gone off subject, Mark.
No, not at all. Literally, the Lions versus the Eagles second game.
Matt Morgan.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, wasn't it, really?
Legend.
Well, do you know what I thought was funny? That they gave him man of the match. Said he was man of the match. And then when you look at the stats of the actual game.
He did lead the charge.
He led the charge in Lions, but
to get back. I mean, I think, was it like a 6-8 point deficit?
I think then Larry Austin Jr. and Jordan Johnson both had more points than him and more rebounds, but they just didn't have as many assists.
But there are other influences in the game, because, isn't it? If you look at that.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I'm just saying it as in, if you look at stats, if you just go, what are the numbers? The whole game is so much more than just, oh, this person did X amount of numbers. And I think that's quite important, because when you look at some of the superstars in some of the other leagues around the world, people will criticize them saying, well, they only got 25 points. And you go, but if they weren't in that game, you wouldn't have even been close.
Yeah, and there's loads of, I call them the unsung heroes, where yep. you'll see off the top of my head, a huge hustle by one individual player diving on the ball, going out of his way, he's got that ball and he'll just flick it up to another player. That other player will pass it down the court, open layup. Mm-hmm. The stats will reflect one player got 2 points, another player got an assist from that.
Yep.
Neither of those things happened unless the guy that dived on the floor did the hustle to get the first guy the ball. And that is what is one of the most underrated parts of the game, is that. And sometimes it doesn't get picked up in the stats.
I think
so. That's where I'm going with.
Yeah,
with
no, I agree.
People like Matt Morgan. Sometimes you don't see their contribution.
No, you don't. And
in the stats is what I'm saying.
When you look at some of those players, like David Nwabe, he is again mentioned as just has such a massive impact in the game, and his, I want to say, advent into the Lions. What's been interesting is him coming in has maybe displaced some other names that we used to see in the Lions rotation. So I always find it quite interesting as well with stuff like that, because you think, well, if you've got one person and they're doing well and they're working in the team and they're all gelling.
Yeah, that's a good example.
You do actually.
Yeah. His contribution for London.
But then he will be crucial. Displacing. But he displaces one or two other players who were playing in the Lions front runners, and we don't see some names like Luke Nelson, we don't see his name pop up as much in the Lions, etc. And you go, some people are getting more game time than others because they're just finding that flow in the starting five. Josh Sharma was off, but he's come back. Obviously, Sam Decker had injury and come back. But then other people are stepping up in the place of those. And then suddenly you go, well, hang on, I've got a really good talent here and they're coming back. I mean, I want to say it's a good problem to have, isn't it? But getting a flow as a team is probably quite difficult.
And I mean, the writing was on the wall with the comeback. Lions claiming the win, 94-81. Great contributions from Matt Morgan, Owemba. You know, you got a, we haven't mentioned Larry Austin Jr. I mean, he was keeping it competitive as well. Jordan Johnson, I'm so impressed with him throughout the entirety of the playoffs. But again, it's not enough. London are through.
It's worth mentioning they were tied at 41 each.
Yeah, half time. That's what I was saying. It was Matt Morgan like, who was helping get them back. But that
you think 41 at the half? Okay, but this is not—it's not a high-scoring game, but it's not—it's not a rubbish low-scoring game either. And this is—and that's both teams playing good defense as well as good offense. It was some really great defensive plays there. But yeah, Wrighton was totally on the wall. And then by third quarter, it was back and forward a bit.
For me, game one was the game one was the big one. And when Newcastle lost that, it was like, okay.
Okay, I got a question.
Two in a row.
Psychological question for you. They were at home, and they lost by a pretty significant margin. Does that affect their game two? Now, in the best will in the world, you should say, of course it doesn't. It's just a brand new game. You can't dwell on the past. Rubbish. Sport, any sports
psychologist would say. I would say, you've got a head coach like Mark Stutel, he'll be getting those players with the right mindset.
I agree.
Yes, I would agree with you. However,
that's what that's what the coach does. That's their coach's job.
After interviewing Mark, he is on another level. I would not be surprised at some point if there's interest with him moving into the NBA.
Yeah,
Over to
or
America.
EuroLeague or something like that.
Because he is, he was just listening to him. He was like, I just want to say, listen to him. He's inspiring us a little bit. You listen to him, wow. 100%. I think they would have gone to game two, completely different mindset. Just going, right, game two, another game two. We lose, we go home.
Yep.
I mean, London, off on their way to the O2. They don't have to go far. And,
No, they don't have to go far, do they? Just pop on far. Do you reckon I get a bus? They're like, we don't need a team bus.
Yeah, bus. They'll be like, coach, I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'm just going to walk, see you there, walk coach. Down the road.
Hey, I would say game one.
Ride your bike.
You don't see it. Sorry, I just had to pause there because I was choking. But I would say game one, Peter, I don't know how to say his surname, Bozic?
Yeah, something like that.
You don't see him lose his cool often.
No.
There's a glimpse of it in game one in the first half. It was kind of when there was a few weird calls. I think you had that push. Then there was something with Connor Morgan on the defensive end as well. Maybe it was early in the second half. Bozic. Is it Bozic? That's how I'd say that. Bozic, actually.
Yeah, probably. But he was with San Antonio before he came, like, for like 5 or 6 years before.
Yeah, I mean, he is a cool head. It was just, you don't see it often. And it was like, he was rattled a little bit. You had him a little bit, is what I'd say. So anyway, that was just something that just also popped in my mind. Right, Mark, Cheshire, Sheffield,
the other side of the coin. I don't like watching Sheffield. It really annoys me seeing their stadium because
this is game two,
game one,
game one at Cheshire.
Yeah, I just don't like their stadium.
You know what was really when Newcastle went down by 20 and I flicked over.
Yep.
The brightness of the Cheshire court just flew out the screen. It's like, whoa, bloody hell. Like,
do you know what it is? I can't get around the fact it just looks like a sports hall, and it's not being condescending or anything at all, but you go, they've been a top performing team. And when you see the team, you see the arenas, you see Sheffield, you see Manchester, you see Leicester, you see Caledonia, London, Newcastle. You see all these arenas, the pavilions even.
Yeah, that's a good one. And Manchester. Then,
yeah, exactly. All of
them. It's just turning the lights down lower where the bleachers are compared to the court.
And look, but, Bristol.
Hey, I reckon someone who's in charge of health and safety.
Bristol and
Cheshire,
Surrey.
They're like, no.
Oh, someone's definitely on that.
That needs to be as bright as possible for people walking down those stairs.
I reckon you could get a suntan there. Yeah, We've got to see every nook and cranny on the staircase.
Oh, dear. But no, I know what you're saying.
It's just something, it doesn't come across well on the telly. So it also makes it difficult.
But the brightness of Cheshire.
Yeah.
I mean, Iron Rye.
I mean, you were saying he doesn't look right.
That was something between me and you, Mark.
Yeah, but you said normally he looked great. And you said he just doesn't look right.
I don't know what it was. I just picked up on something. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Aaron sent you messages like,
if he's unwell. Today. I don't know if he's unwell or.
What was it? In the game? Is it in the gate?
Maybe fatigued end of the season. I don't know. There was just something. When he came off, I mean, he was getting frustrated as well. And he came off like late in the fourth.
Yeah, definitely getting frustrated.
And the camera went on him and it just, something didn't look right. Something didn't look right.
I mean, that first game, 22 points.
Maybe he was just tied.
22 points, 9 rebounds, dominating both ends of the court. It's almost a double-double, but still.
And that Sheffield were coming back. They were coming back, and Iron Rye went off, and it was like, here we go! Closing time, and I think they got it to, what was it? We were talking on the phone at the time, because I was like, this is like 3.
It was 10 points down.
I think
they
got
half.
It to 3.
Something like that. That was the second half, though, wasn't it?
This is right at the end. Yeah, right at the end. I think they got it to 3, and I was like, here we go, Mark. They got the ball, and it was like, Iron Rye came back in the game.
That was Nixon, who's been absolutely instrumental in those, you know, those massive games that he hit when they were playing Leicester. And when they played Leicester, and Nixon came out with a massive 3, bang. Came out again with another massive 3, bang. And that's what knocked Leicester out of it. Nixon
RJ
again.
As well.
Yeah, RJ. But Nixon is really, I want to say not improvement, but he's really shone out towards this back half of the season for Sheffield. And where they were, you know, at the beginning we said how like they crept up the ladder. And you thought, oh, okay. Like he's really done that. So I thought that was a really impressive performance for him.
But it could have, right at the end, I was thinking, wow, is this going to be one of those really good finishes?
And that's why I was annoyed that I missed the start of part of this game.
But if you looked at the end score, for me, I was like, wow, okay, like it was 3 points. I want to say 3 points at a certain point, and it was like, oh, okay, to then lose by 9, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just pushed a couple in that just kept that distance. But I want to say I was surprised that Art J, Eatle Rock, they said about him coming alive.
Oh, what?
Yeah, 12 of his 19 points in the fourth quarter. But you think if he hadn't done that with the Sharks, that would have been a bigger discrepancy. And you said, that was to do with Aaron going off. They capitalized on that massively.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's when the gap started going closer, closer, closer. He came back in the game. But it was, I was a little disappointed when he came back in the game because it's like, oh man, the general's back. But what a season he's had. He's had a great season. But
season.
I really wanted maybe him to come back in the game after Sheffield have equalised. I mean, I was just watching it purely for the drama as a neutral. I want excitement, stuff like that. So it was like, yeah, okay.
But games like that, you can get people to watch it. And if they are new to the sport or just new to watching it, you would get involved with the, oh, hang on, they're getting closer. And the drama associated with someone making a comeback and someone's done this, it had that kind of theatre about it. So, yeah, good game, but Cheshire won. I wasn't really surprised that they were going to take that win at home, to be fair.
I had a feeling about Sheffield.
Well, I think in that game, Sheffield proved, you know, we have got the calibre to do this and take this to a 3 game. So for those who don't recall, this is a 3 game, best of 3 series. So Sheffield showed that. And then the next game was 2 days on
at the Shark Tank.
Or the Cannon Medical Arena, as they like to call it.
Shark Tank.
I know. I always feel bad that we should say the sponsor of that arena for whatever it's, because we always say the Virtu Arena. But then do we say the Eagles Nest as well? We do, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Well, I name all these stadiums in the way I do it on the show, and that's how I refer to them.
What do you name Surrey's?
Surrey Scorchers?
Yeah.
The Dragon's Lair. Just made that one up.
Not Flame Land.
You put me on the spot. The Dragon's Lair. Right, come on. Cheshire, Sheffield. Yeah. You know, it was, what was it?
It was game over. It was like a 20-point deficit, I think. It was 20, 19 points. Yeah, they just...
They started strong. Aaron Rye again. He's that. Like, what a signing. What a signing that they've made with him.
They led by 21 points.
Feels like we're saying that.
21 points at half time, they led. 21 points. And I think that is reflective. You see, the first half, I'm not saying I turned it off, it was still on, but I was doing other bits and bobs. Like a lot of people do when they watch stuff these days, to be fair. And I think I was doing the dishes or something like that. And, you know, you just sit there.
What?
You put the headphones in, you got the game on. You're
doing watching this game on your phone?
No, on the iPad. Yeah, you watch it.
You're a disgrace.
Yeah, love it.
You're a disgrace.
Man, not all of us drink beer, so.
You're a disgrace. Right.
But honestly, that 21 points, I think that is pretty much how indicative the game was. It just, that first half, Cheshire went, we're just a better team.
And Sheffield struggled with...
So, credit to their fans. Their fans were going mental all the way through those games.
Foul trouble though, a couple of tees thrown out.
Yeah.
I really like Jalen Pipkins. I love his hustle. I really like his hustle.
And again, Prentice Nixon. I think he's really, really made the Sharks are out now, but that's really made a strong case for him, not just returning next year, but a lot of people would be looking at him going, he could play a more pivotal role in the team. Because he came off the bench in some of those last games with Leicester and made the game winners. When you've got someone who's doing that, you suddenly think, okay, maybe they should have a more important role.
Well,
I've got
a soft spot for the Sharks.
Yeah, they just need to change that.
I used to go to Yorkshire, go to Sheffield quite a bit. So I've got a little soft spot for them. So
they just
got
to change that rubbish kit.
Yeah. Ew. No, I like the kit.
No.
I like it.
I will say...
Pub.
I'm sure it looks better.
Ew.
In person, it's probably this kind of grey, and I'm sure it looks good. But on the team, it doesn't... On the TV, it does
like
not
it.
Translate well.
I like it.
So, that's our final.
They could have, like, the grey kit with, like, a shark, like, bite on the side. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
A shark bite on the side.
Right, so off to the O2 Arena.
Yeah.
For a replay of the BBL Trophy, where we see the London Lions, champions of the BBL, take on the Cheshire Phoenix, the BBL Trophy champions. It is pretty much the rematch that I think a lot of the neutrals wanted to see. Yep. And this is a one-off game. Cheshire have done it once. Are London going to...
Let them
do it again.
I do not think there is anything that London are going to do other than go out and absolutely try to pound them. They will do. They will throw everything at them, and it will be.
You're going for a London Lions win.
I'm going for like an emphatic win. I'm going for them going crazy. I think there was in the last game. I forgot to mention Skylar White had this huge block, and it's one of those blocks where you know when a player goes up. And then the defender just gets the hand on the ball just straight away. And he's like, nope, that's not going in. It's not going anywhere. And he just, out you go. And they were like, there's a foul. They're calling a foul. And apparently it was one where they said that should have been a foul. It wasn't at all. It was all clean ball. It was just the Sheffield fans were going crazy because they were like, we're not getting any calls. And there has been some things on social media where people be complaining, saying, again, the refereeing, they were swallowing their whistles a bit and maybe letting the games go on a little bit longer than actually not stopping when they should be. So,
well, we know when referees do that over a certain amount of time, people get their teeth knocked out, Mark.
Yeah, apparently so.
Anyway, so we won't go on about that. But you know what? It's if you're going for London, I'm going to go for Cheshire. I'm going to be more specific. Cheshire are going to be down by 2 points. No, they're going to be down by 1 point.
Are you going for a nail-biter?
And Skylar White is going to launch it.
Oh, God, no.
From...
Please don't.
Halfway line.
Skylar, if you listen to this, please
he's going
don't
to launch it. And it's going to be going... The crowd are going to be holding their breath. It's in the air. Air ball. But LaQuincy Rideau catches it. Boom! He gets shoved in the back. Throws it. Up in the air, it goes over the backboard and then in the basket.
I mean, look, genuinely...
That is my prediction.
If you modified that, that could be a play for him. Because he likes banging up the three, why not make it that he's throwing an alley-oop? Because people might give him the room or expect him to give that three. And then actually, I mean, they don't. They try not to because he is effective. But why not go for an alley-oop rather than a three? You have to be precise, but
well, this was just saying I made up in my head, but that's my prediction.
Wow.
So
I think London are going to go out there and they're obviously bitter about not winning the trophy this year. But I will say this, for British basketball, I think if Cheshire won, that would cause some interesting questions. If Cheshire won, that would cause some very interesting questions indeed. Because we've talked about, you have the season, which lasts 36 games, and then you just have a playoffs, and there's a trophy as well. Playoffs and the trophy are in total like 8 games, 12 games, whereas the season is 36, and that's longevity. You've said before, whoever wins the league, they should be the outright winners, which would be London. But if another team, i.e. Cheshire, win the trophy and then win the playoffs as well, and look at the disparity
London
between...
London are the best team for the season. Yeah. Like, London are the best team.
Yep.
We're now in a one game, game seven, FA Cup final thing.
Yep.
Who knows what's going to happen? But I don't think, even if Cheshire won this, I don't think anyone can take away the achievement of what London Lions have done this season.
Absolutely not. Not
I don't. I would look back at the season and go, wow, Cheshire, great, you got two cups. But still, London, for me, by winning the championship, you've proven you're the best team.
Yeah.
I generally look at the playoffs like it's the FA Cup, like cup competition, because there are only 10 teams, and it's not like we've got a North and South.
No.
If we had, and then it goes 30 teams or 20 teams, then maybe it could be more. But
so you're already in the quarterfinals.
We only have playoffs because that's what it is in America.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Who's the best team? Team that wins the playoffs? In America, very much so. You win the NBA championship. But over here, we're more aligned with like a football structure, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
London Lions have won the championship. Look on the BBL website. They've won the championship. So who, if you then win the playoffs? See what I mean? It's just, I personally find it in the UK confusing.
Yeah, it is actually. I've never really considered it that way.
Take away the championship trophy for the league, yeah, now all the weight is on the playoffs.
Yeah, 100%.
But as soon as you go, you are the championship winners of the league, I'm like, okay, well, that for me devalues the playoffs.
How do you...
So it's like a cup. That's how I look at it.
Let's say Cheshire won, for an argument's sake.
Yeah.
How do you introduce Cheshire?
BBL trophy and BBL playoff winners of 2024.
But you would still say the championship winners... London.
Yes, that's how I did it. So, again, like I say, I
agree with you. So that is the weighting. So the weighting is, who's the championship winners? For them. Well, they're the best. What do they win? Are they won two cup rounds, two trophies, two small runs, so to speak? So yeah. When you look at it that way,
take
100%,
away the championship trophy.
Yeah.
And then I would, and then Cheshire say, no, win I'd, this. I'd say Cheshire BBL
champions. Do you know
champions.
What? The trophy, I think they did really well with the trophy. We loved it. And just like the in-season tournament with the NBA, it changed dynamics with some of the teams, and it made it really exciting. And then Cheshire took that win off of London, and you could see how many people were like, wow, what just happened there? And obviously London were depleted. They had quite a few players who were injured, etc. It doesn't matter. But there were two teams on the day.
I remember the hustle from LaQuincy Rideau in particular. Yeah. And... that spoke volumes. I mean, he got MVP from what I remember of that game.
Mm-hmm.
So
this final is going to be great. Yeah. They need to make sure they're marketing this. They need to make sure that people who don't watch basketball just put
that
it on.
That should be on Sky Sports 1.
Yeah. You just need as many eyes on that as well, because you have got...
But it's on YouTube.
You have got two of the best that we've got in the UK playing.
Yeah. I mean, I think...
And they're going to give a really good game.
I think the bookies would have put, what, London in there and then either Caledonia or Cheshire into this. It is what the bookies would have done, I'd imagine. So, yeah, and after the BBL trophy, it was kind of the matchup a lot of people were talking about. Yeah. So, look, the dice being rolled. Let's see what happens.
And then that'll be it. That'll be our final.
Our final. But we do have... So, whilst I was away... getting my teeth all sorted out, you had Elliot as a guest.
Big Country Bridgman.
Big Country. So Big Country is actually going to the O2 Arena.
He is.
On Sunday. So I spoke to him and he is going to come into the studio and tell us what the atmosphere is like, and he's going to do a couple of videos for the media side of things and the socials. So it'd be great to, like, I think there's one thing you see on TV and you get it. When you're there, you pick up on a lot more. There's a lot more in body language and stuff like that. Or you see,
100%.
Like, I remember being in the NBA once at a game, and it was just one glance that a ref gave another ref, and I was like, wow, that ref is questioning his call. You wouldn't even, you would not pick that up on cameras.
No, you can't. There's no.
But it was to. Just, it was just like one look where he looked. Do you know when you like pull a face?
Yeah.
You like looked at him like, are you sure about that? And it was like, wow. Didn't know what happened. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
So Mark.
Well, he can't do this though, can he? He can't rub his fingers together.
No.
Anymore. They can't do
not
that.
Not allowed to do that. You get chucked out.
So ends BBL Weekly for this week. Thank you
the
for joining us.
The penultimate.
The penultimate. One more coming back next week. Go check out our other episodes. We've got loads going out, including Mark Stukel that went out today. And we've got another one going out tomorrow with Mark, so get tuned in for that. I have been Mark.
I have been Paul. Goodbye. Hey, there's no badminton playoff final happening in the O2 Arena because no one would go to it. Fact.